Blog Talk Radio.
Inner Healing is a worldwide community of people who believe healing comes from the inside, as well as all the answers needed to live a happy, healthy life. As such, this is the Inner Healers Radio, an online talk show on alternative medicine to provide life guidance and help people connect through emotion with their natural inner state of health. With this radio and the help of all our guests and followers, we hope to create a space for sharing our lives online. Listen to your favorite spiritual and master teachers, authors, psychologists, channelers, healers, psychics, music therapists, and more. My name is Luciana Stiglitz. I'm the founder of Inner Healers, and I will be your host in this adventure. May you allow yourself to enjoy it. Hello, everybody. Welcome to our Inner Healers Radio. Today, we have the author of In Search of the Miraculous, Healing into Consciousness, a step-by-step guidebook to everyone's journey of healing and transformation from fear, pain, and suffering into enlightened consciousness. Her name is Mara Daylan. She is an internationally acclaimed master healer and the founder of Healing Thalian Method, DM. It's an ingenious, groundbreaking self-healing system for the new humanity. Regarding our month topic, which is curiosity, we will discuss with her today the seven stages of ego's development, practical ways to transform thoughts into consciousness, exercises to practice surrender to what is, techniques to dissolve mental and emotional blockages, how to purify the body and the seven energy points or chakras, ways to break through the three veils of illusion, and how to make friends with your inner silence. Help me welcome Mara. Hello, Mara.
Hello, Luciana. Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Hello.
Thanks for being with us today. So tell us, what is curiosity for you? How would you define it in your experience?
Well, curiosity in my mind equals adventure, equals creativity, equals openness. It's all the things that the ego is afraid of. And curiosity, what makes us feel forever young, and curiosity is what helps our human nation or humankind to advance and to evolve, because animals don't have curiosity. They just live in their nature. They do what they're programmed to do, and which is survival, and they know how to survive. It's just built in. Whereas with us humans, curiosity is what helps us evolve, helps us reach the moon and the stars and other planets, and obviously also helps us to wake up and realize that we're not just bound to this planet, to this earth, or to this body, and we belong to the whole universe. So curiosity is an interesting thing, and I think when we lose our curiosity, then obviously we fall into depression, because we also lose an opportunity for creativity and evolution.
So in which way has curiosity positively influenced your path?
Well, if I just talk even about the healing method that I devised, it would not have happened without curiosity. So for me, just wanting to explore, wanting to know how the human mind and body and emotions work, and how our consciousness works, and what causes our pain and suffering, how to come out of pain and suffering, and how the actually our thoughts and emotions that we repress in our bodies, how they affect our physical health, how we can access what's in the body that we're repressed, how we can access our history, the experiences and the imprints and the beliefs and the conclusions that we've made throughout our lifetime. So all these questions is what helped me gradually see how the perceptions that we have and the interactions that we have with life and with each other, how they're all formed and how they actually begin from our very inception, and not only that, how we bring some of our unconscious patterns from the previous lifetimes. So without curiosity, it would have been impossible for me, obviously, to explore these things. And I'm very glad that I was able to do that, because the healing method that came as a result of that is a very avant-garde, unique. It's not known anywhere before. So it's a very simple but very powerful technique that helps transformation. And this is the new, we're entering the new, we've come a long ways in our development and in our evolution. And I feel humankind is ready for faster methods, for faster way to transform their ego.
Mm-hmm. Your experience, what is the relation between curiosity and healing?
Did you say healing or feeling?
Yes.
Feeling. Oh, healing.
Healing.
Okay.
It has to do with the book that you've written and the work you're doing.
Yes, the second book that I'm writing, well, I'm almost finished, but curiosity relates to everything, not just healing. It relates, a scientist will not be able to make discoveries if they're not curious. And normally, why do we start exploring things is because there's always a problem in front of us. So a problem that we feel could be solved or we want to solve. And if we did not have any challenges in life, then we will not have evolution, because challenge and evolution also are very closely related. If there was no challenges, we wouldn't really have the curiosity to do any exploration. And we will not be able to develop our intellect. We will not develop. Able to develop our intelligence. And through curiosity, we come to experience things. And through experience is how we become knowers. And that's how we transcend the limited beliefs and limited conditionings that we're trained to, basically we're trained all our life to live by certain conditionings. And in order to break those conditionings, each person needs to have a level of curiosity and level of excitement to discover the answers to their challenges, to discover the ways to improve. And obviously, if we look back in our history, the way we lived then, even 100 years ago, is so different from the way we live now. And if it was not for people's curiosity, we wouldn't have computers, we wouldn't have cars, we wouldn't have all the technological advancements, cell phones. Of course, now that we have all these advancements, the next challenge for us is the harmful effects that those advancements create. So then that opens another door for people to become curious and want to find ways to then balance the harmful creates the the, you know, with the cell phones, especially all the vibrations and how they harm our human, very sensitive bodies and life. So, and life goes on in a way that we start thinking that now we're coming away from being in harmony with nature, and we're trying to find ways to come back to nature. So many things are there, and evolution never stops, and curiosity never stops, and that's how life goes around.
Mm-hmm. So for our listeners, can you please describe what healing means for you?
Healing for me means transformation into consciousness, because healing is not just if I have a problem, I fix the problem, I don't feel it anymore, and I'm healed. To me, that's not healing. To me, the ultimate healing is finding your inner light, finding your consciousness, and finding, understanding, coming to the realization that you're not your body, you're not your thoughts, you're not your emotions, but you're pure consciousness. Because the body, sooner or later, no matter how much we try to take care of it, sooner or later it's going to die. And unless we find that the soul, the consciousness within us that never dies, we will not come to ultimate healing. So that's why the subtitle of my book is Healing into Consciousness. And a healing is a step-by-step process. Of course, in that process of healing, we are disidentifying from our beliefs. We're disidentifying from our emotions, our conditionings, because all those things keep us in a hologram. We think this is the reality, but this is really not the ultimate reality. This is the physical reality that we're all are born into, we live in, that we get to know, but our perceptions are based on experiences. Now, those experiences are also related to our physical reality. And once those experiences are ingrained in our body, then every single memory of the experience starts running, it starts projecting within the energy as a hologram. And then the mind says, well, I was wounded. I need to fix this. Or I was wounded and somebody else is at fault because I'm not feeling good. And this is where we miss the opportunity to heal into consciousness. What we need to look at if we want to truly heal is to look at every emotion, every thought as an opportunity to look inside and to ask the question, why do I feel this way? What is my lesson in here? Who am I? Where am I coming from? Why this is happening for me? What are the lessons in my life circumstances? And, for example, why was I born into this family? Why did I come to this country? Because somewhere the soul is never ending. It moves from one experience to another experience. And every experience teaches us, helps us to evolve, helps us to expand our understanding and our consciousness. And of course, one very important thing that is required for healing to happen, we need to look at our fears, because our fears block energy in our body. And when the energy blocked in the body through fears and through those repressed programs, the thoughts and emotions and beliefs that we have formed through our past experiences, all these things block the energy in the body. And when the energy does not move, obviously that's where we have problems. And all illnesses, all diseases are, in a way, I would say 99% of the diseases are based on blocked energy. So this is where the healing, the true healing comes in, to look to see what is blocked in the energy, not just to move the energy, because in a way, the way we've been doing this, either through allopathic medicine, we further repress the symptoms that the body is showing us through medication or through allopathic treatment, or through alternative treatments, what we try to do, we try to move the energy, but we still don't know what is causing the blockage. We don't know the causes. And therefore, when the causes are constantly there in the background, even if we move energy, for example, through Reiki healing or massage or acupuncture, for some time, the person feels good, obviously, because the energy started to move. But then what happens, those causes are not transformed, so therefore the same problem comes back again. Because the causes are stagnating the energy, they're blocking the energy. So with my healing method, we go directly into the causes which are in the body cellular memory, and those causes are, like I said, every time we have an experience, we make a conclusion. That conclusion is a belief, and it's imprinted in the body. And there's lessons in every experience, obviously. So part of the healing is to discover the lessons. And the moment the lesson is discovered, the transformation becomes permanent. And we discover the lessons through consciousness. We cannot discover the lessons through the mind, because it's through the mind that we formed our beliefs.
Mm-hmm. So in your experience, how can curiosity help us develop and expand our understanding of consciousness?
Well, if you're understanding what I just said, as an example, and you say, now I understand. I have this problem. I have a chronic pain in my hip. And I've had this pain for years and years, and I've tried to heal it with many modalities, and I still have the chronic pain in my hip. So the curiosity in this case, listening to me, would be, so now I understand that there might be some other cause in this chronic pain. So I'm curious now. I want to look into it, and I want to explore what are the beliefs that are stuck in my hip that I'm not seeing. And so just listening to me and understanding this concept might create a curiosity in somebody to then explore what is the cause of my chronic pain, or what is the cause of my cancer, or what is the cause of whatever illness that you're experiencing? Because the illnesses, we just give different names to illnesses, but they're just still blocked energy in different parts of the body. And we just have those labels. If somebody cannot breathe easily, we call it asthma. When somebody keeps coughing and can't breathe, so that becomes asthma. That we put that label on the illness. When somebody there's others such as Crohn's disease, muscular diseases, fibromyalgia. So we put labels on different parts of the body on different illnesses, different symptoms, but primarily we're looking at the symptoms. And because the energy can be repressed and blocked in different parts of the body and have a different effect, then we think, well, if we address and look at and explore the symptom and try to repress the symptom, we will solve the problem. And what happens, and I've worked with many people like this also, that when they have a problem somewhere, even something such as cancer, they have cancer in the body, so the cancer is removed surgically, and then the same thing pops up somewhere else in the body. So why does this happen? It happens because the cause, the repression, if somebody is repressing their anger, now they start repressing either in the same place in the body, so they get the second round of tumor coming up in the same place, or they find another place to start repressing their anger, as an example. And when you don't know why am I feeling angry, what's causing my anger, then you continue repressing mechanically because there's social standards and you cannot show your anger, you cannot, it's socially unacceptable to look at your anger, so then that conditioning forces you to repress anger also. So lots of social conditionings that do not allow us to live normal, natural lives. So we all become artificial in a way because we follow a certain acceptable, socially acceptable standard. And we don't understand that by doing that, we are sabotaging our well-being inside. We're sabotaging our inner truth. We're sabotaging not only our truth, but we're also sabotaging the people that we interact with because we become artificial toward them. And when we do that, then how can we be loving and kind? Because to have your heart open, you cannot have any kind of manipulation with anyone, including yourself. So when we try to be manipulative and controlling just to keep our ego intact, then how can we have our heart open? So a lot of things are related. Everything in the body is interrelated, and not only that, the body is related to the emotions, to the thoughts. It's related to our spirit, to our soul. So if we want to create healing and inner wholeness, we need to address all of those at the same time, and not just the symptoms and not just the local areas in the body, but we need to look at the whole human being as one phenomena.
Mm-hmm. So you were talking about challenges before. If this where the ego steps in our healing path, how do you define ego?
Ego is everything that we believe that we are, would be the ego. And who we think we are or who we know we are would be your consciousness. So who we think we are. Sometimes we think that, well, I know myself. And then we give explanations to who is myself, who is me. And anything we say about who we are is all a false concept, which is related to the ego. Because ultimately, our being, what's within each person's being, is pure emptiness. In that pure emptiness, there's pure consciousness, which does not have any judgments, does not have any likes or dislikes. It does not have any beliefs, any concepts, nothing. It's pure emptiness. So in that emptiness, it's for the ego, it's very dangerous because in the emptiness, nothing happens. How can anything happen within the emptiness? That's what the ego thinks. But the truth is that from within that emptiness, which is our being, is how everything arises. And if we take the universe, the core, the center of the universe is emptiness. The the being of the universe is that same emptiness. And out of that emptiness is how the Big Bang arose and how stars arose and how the planets arose and how the energy movement, the trees, the animals, people, everything that we see physically arises out of emptiness. And that emptiness within it also is the joy of creativity, because anything that becomes manifest, which was not manifest before, it has an energy of joy and creativity behind it, because creativity equals joy. So once something is created and we get attached to it, that's where we begin to suffer. And that's where the ego stays stuck. And the ego is always afraid to lose what it has. It's afraid to lose the material things. It's afraid to lose the body. It's afraid to lose the attachments to people, to things. So all those things are part of the ego. So the fear, basically, is what keeps us in the ego. So the fear to let go, the fear to move on, and for evolution to happen, we absolutely must let go of what we're attached to. Because otherwise, we stay in the known, and there is no possibility for evolution. So ultimately, healing happens when we transform our ego into consciousness.
So you were talking also about repressing emotions, which create emotional blockages, mental blockages, physical blockages, sickness, like or any other disease, while sabotaging our inner truth. In your experience, how can we learn to surrender? What should we surrender to? And how do you define surrendering?
Surrendering happens through intelligence. And intelligence is not the intellect. Somebody might have a very sharp intellect and can weave beautiful stories through their mind and actually can even give you the whole theory of creation. But that's the part of the intellect. Now, in order to be intelligent, what we need is life experiences. Life experiences teach us intelligence. And life experiences teach us that when we struggle, we suffer. So when we struggle for something, with something, and we're struggling, we don't want to let it go, and existence basically does not support our wishes, the ego's wishes, and we continue struggling and we continue suffering, a moment comes where an understanding comes in. And that understanding comes in through the intelligence that is built in within each person. And with understanding, the intelligence understands that, so I have no choice now. I have to surrender. I have to let go. Because the ego realizes I have no choice. I cannot push this. So there's so many examples that we can give, and I'm sure every single person has had many examples in their life. For example, let's take relationships. That would be a classic example. So somebody's in a relationship, they fall in love, they think we're going to be together forever, but then they move together, and suddenly the personalities come in, and the two different personalities start crashing. And as they clash more and more, then those feelings of love, suddenly the heart closes and the euphoria of love suddenly disappears. And what happens is then there is the two wills that are crossing. Well, I want this my way, I want it my way. So, and then, obviously, one of the people in the relationship feels, well, this is too much, I can't handle this, I'm going to leave. So when one person decides I'm going to leave, the other person who is not ready, who hasn't come to that decision, starts struggling and just tries to fix the relationship, tries to do everything possible to manipulate it, to control it. Then they control by feeling emotional, by manipulating, by showing that many things. Everybody knows what they're doing in this situation. So, but then what happens, the other person is stronger within themselves and knows this is the right thing to do and I have to move on. And I've learned lessons through this relationship and I'm grateful for the lessons, but I want to stay open and I want to be friends, but I have to move on. But the other person is just still not wanting to let go. That's the classic example where existence does not support your ego, and then you're forced to say, well, I have to let go. There's nothing I can do. That's the point where the ego has an opportunity, or you have an opportunity to see that I'll have to surrender. There's no way. There's nothing I can do. If you don't surrender, you continue suffering. So that's one example of surrender. Many times we're forced, because we're not intelligent enough to understand that everybody is here to learn their lessons, and we're all come together to learn our lessons. So in other words, we're all help each other to learn what we need. And once our paths separate, we need to see that there's something else that is waiting for me. I need to learn something else. I cannot keep struggling and wanting to go back, because there were some good times and they're in my memory and I want to keep them forever. And so then you stagnate that way. And this is where, even if we don't do any work consciously, existence pushes us, because existence is so compassionate in a sense that it wants every single person or every single energy embodied in the person that we know as a person to be transformed from unconsciousness into consciousness, to become light, because through that light is how we expand, the universe expands itself. So the moment, and we know that, the moment you let go of something, you struggle, suddenly your energy expands. And that's where then curiosity to explore, what am I holding on to? Why am I holding on to these things? Why am I not letting go? Will come in, and as you start doing that, you will absolutely come to the place of fear, because we don't let go because we're afraid. We don't let go because we're afraid of the unknown. And most of human pain and suffering is related with the fear of death and the unknown. And if we can see that I'm going to die one day anyways, so why am I struggling? And let me see, why am I afraid? If we start exploring our fear, then we have an opportunity to start living our life more fully. And we cannot live our life more fully if we do not explore our fear. And when we don't explore our fears of death and the unknown and all the other little fears that we have, fear of rejection, fear of making mistakes, fear to be wrong. So if we don't explore those, then we keep our energy stuck. And when the energy is stuck, then of course we're going to experience pain. Now, what is pain? What is suffering? It simply means that the joy is missing, is not happening inside. And joy always is related to let go and surrender. The moment we let go and surrender, energy expands and joy comes automatically. So we are not seeing that we're looking for happiness outside. We're trying to bring somebody else into our life so that somebody else's energy could fill our holes. But we don't understand that joy is built within ourselves, our own energy. And if our energy is stagnating and is clammed with fear, then it's impossible to feel joy. Even if somebody else comes and they're happy for a second, you forget your problems. You feel happy because somebody else's energy is open and expansive. But then that person moves on and you're back to your pain and your misery.
So you have created a self-healing method. What can you tell us about it, and what role did curiosity play in your process of joyful creation?
Can you repeat that, please? So there's two questions I think you asked.
Yes, they're kind of complementary because we're in the last minutes of our show. So you have created a self-healing method. What
yes.
can you tell us about this healing method? And what role did curiosity play in your process of joyful creating the self-healing method?
Okay, if I understand it correctly, so I created the self-healing method, and what is the role of joy in that method? Is that correct?
Yes. What can you tell us about this method that
okay.
you created, and
well,
what role did curiosity play on it?
The method is such that it helps you identify, and I have to say a couple of things here. When I was creating the method, obviously I was working with people one-on-one, which I still do. I still work with people one-on-one. But I came to a point where I felt this method is too powerful to just stay in a small sort of way for only me to work with it. And many practitioners also who had experience with me one-on-one, they could recognize the power of this method, and they also wanted to know how to be trained to work with other people this way. But what I realized is that it is possible, and this is my curiosity and the challenge that I put in front of myself, was how can I now convert this method into a self-healing version so that everybody can benefit without having to depend on an outside help or without having to depend on somebody else doing it for them. Because humanity, there's 7 billion people on the planet, and even if 100 people can start working with this method, it's still, the time is such that existence is in a hurry. It needs to transform consciousness on this planet. The time is now, we don't have the luxury of time of waiting. So that's what motivated me to create the self-healing version. And what the version would do, the self-healing method would do, is will help you to start identifying those repressed beliefs in your body, and then you start working with those beliefs through the guidance on, there's two CDs that will come with the book, and the long version of the method, which is 98 minutes, and then the shorter version, 74 minutes. So you would work with step by step following my instructions, and as you do that, whatever blocks the energy starts automatically moving out of the way. As it starts moving out of the way, because I'm working with the whole body, not just one area, then the energy starts flowing through the whole body. As the energy flows and as those repressions are released, then the consciousness, which is already inside you, and joy comes with consciousness, has an opportunity to come forward, has an opportunity to shine through the clouds of those beliefs and emotions. And once you see little openings and suddenly the consciousness comes in, you suddenly have that moment of understanding and realization that now I see why this thing happened. It happened because I needed to learn this lesson. The moment you see that, you're free of the unconscious part that was keeping your energy blocked. So, for example, if somebody has had a problem their life with their parents, and many people have problems with their parents, and you struggle with your parents and you think, well, it's all their fault, or you struggle with your relationship and you think it's all your partner's fault, and suddenly as you release those beliefs out of your body, you suddenly realize, oh my God, this is the lesson I had to learn. Whatever this person is doing to me or did, I had done this to somebody else. And I needed to learn that because I needed to experience it on my own skin. This is where the karma comes in too, those karmic relationships. The moment you see that, then automatically your intelligence comes in and says, I forgive myself and I forgive you. And I thank you for actually being there and showing and forcing me to look at myself. And the moment you see that, that's an automatically you take responsibility for your own life. And what does it mean to take responsibility for your own life? It means taking responsibility for your own energy and how you create your life. If something is not happening in your life and you feel it's somebody else's fault, suddenly you change your perspective and you say, it was all my doing. My own fears, my own beliefs were stopping me from taking risks and from opening myself up to exploring something new. So not only you learn that, but this is where your curiosity then comes in and says, okay, now I'm going to feel more open to the unknown, and I'm actually curious what's in the unknown. So I'm not going to be afraid of it, but I'm going to be happy to explore it. So this is how, through consciousness, joy automatically comes in. And once you start taking that responsibility for your own life, that's when you start exploring all the potential that's hidden within you. Because in order to explore what your own potential is, what your own life purpose is and your gifts are, you have to take that step back into yourself. You have to take responsibility for your own life and your own energy. Otherwise, how can you explore? How can you take responsibility for your own gifts? Because nobody can live your gifts. Only you can. Nobody can explore your gifts. People can encourage. People can help. But still, it's each person's personal responsibility to explore their gifts and actually put them into motion, put them into action. Nobody can force you to do what you don't want to do. So that light of self-exploration also will help you to find those gifts. That's why the self-exploration, self-realization, those things are so important. And what we have done through centuries, we have programmed our children to follow what we want them to do. We haven't taught our children to find their inner creativity and potential. And then we complain. Well, we cannot complain because we have created the society in a way that the egos have wanted, the egos of those who wanted to stay in control, such as religions, such as any kind of structure, starting from family. So the status quo wants people to be subordinate and to do what the status quo wants them to do. And this is so unconscious. And if we